I don't know that I've ever heard the congregation sing as loud as you sang today. Thank you. I don't know that I've ever heard a scripture reading as loud as that. Thank you. Let's pray. Almighty God, may your written word be our guide, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. Does anyone know the name of perhaps the first, but certainly one of the first, novels written in English? It was written in 1719. I'll read its title, The Life and Strange Surprising Adventures of Robinson Crusoe of York, Mariner, who lived 28 years all alone on an uninhabited island on the coast of America near the mouth of a great river, having been cast on shore by shipwreck, wherein all the men perished but himself, with an account how he was at last strangely delivered by pirates, written by himself. Actually, it was written by Daniel Defoe, a very committed Christian. And for those of you who don't know the story, he was shipwrecked and he had a chest full of things, including a Bible. But Robinson Crusoe had never gone to church. He was a sailor with all the normal sailor vices, but one day he found himself very ill with a fever, and he opened up the Bible to Psalm 50:15. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Psalm 50:15. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Now the psalmist has given us a pattern of call on the Lord, he will deliver you, and you will glorify the Lord. And Robinson Crusoe was so caught up by this passage that he continued to read in the Bible, and he began his journey heavenward. He prayed for the very first time in his life that day. And many years later, there was another person on the island whose name was Friday. And the first task that Robinson Crusoe had was leading Friday to Christ. It's interesting, that's a pattern for prayer in both the Old and New Testaments. Call on the Lord, he will deliver you, and you will bring glory to him. Well, Paul, as he's closing his letter to the church at Ephesus, is in prison. And he wants to be an ambassador for Christ in prison. And he wants the people of Ephesus to pray for him. And it's interesting how he wants them to pray. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in the supplication for the saints. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Call on the name of the Lord, pray to the Lord, and pray in the Spirit. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then that great verse, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Call out to me, God says. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. You may not know how to pray. You may not be able to put it into words. Just pray, and the Holy Spirit will interpret your words. We cannot really pray to the Lord except through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I struggle with this verse, to be honest, about all things work together for good, because I had a delightful time in England, and I came back all charged up, and then I got a whole bunch of emails about people who are suffering economic situations, physical situations, relationship problems. I'm going, Lord, how can all these things work out? I'm praying for some of these people for a very long time. Why, Lord? But God says, call upon me and I will deliver you. And then Paul gives us some ways to pray. And it's very interesting. And don't take me wrong. Paul says not only should our prayer be spirit-centered, it should be self and saints-centered. Paul says, pray for yourself, pray for the saints. Now, I had a very pious person not too long ago came up to me and said, you know, you shouldn't pray for yourself. Most of your prayer should be praise to God the Father, and you should be praying for other people. Well, that's not correct. Because if you don't have to pray for yourself, you know what that's telling God? I don't need the power of your Spirit. Other people do. I'll pray for them. But I can get by just by myself. You can't. So Paul says it's okay to pray for yourself. And Paul says, be alert. I love that song, open the eyes of our heart. Part of prayer is to open the eyes of our heart. I'm recently off a plane. I'm physically jet-lagged. But many of us are spiritually jet-lagged, right? We don't have a clue to what God really wants to do in and through us. We miss the main point. Open the eyes of our heart. Be alert. Be aware. Always, Paul says. And you do that by prayer. And then he says, be persistent. Has anyone read any of the Harry Potter books? You know that J.K. Rowling sent that first book to 28 publishers? No, sorry, excuse me, 8 publishers. John Grisham sent his first book to 28 publishers. And everyone turned him down, and finally it was printed, and there's 150 million copies of John Grisham's books that have been printed, but there are well over 400,000 of J.K. Rowling's books that have been printed. She was persistent, and when she finally found a publisher, the publisher told her, don't think that you can make enough money to live on as a children's writer. But aren't you glad that John Grisham and J.K. Rowling and other authors were persistent? How persistent are we in our prayers? And I'll admit, I was discouraged last night. I was going, Lord, I've been praying for these people. Why? And then I went to bed, and shortly thereafter, one of our pugs, Minnie, started barking really loud. I don't know if any of you were awake between 1:30 and 2:30, but it was pouring rain. And the rain had scared the poor dog. I'm going, oh great, I've got to preach tomorrow, I need my sleep. How do I quiet this dog down? So I picked her up, and we went out on the patio, and we watched the rain. And she was shaking, and then she stopped shaking, and then she settled down very content, and then she fell asleep. And then something really interesting happened. You know, we're to pray for ourselves and pray for others. I got a text message from somebody from Union Church who's in North America. And they said, I am praying for you. Wow. And suddenly, I felt like the little pug dog on God's lap. I was content. I was safe. I was in the arms of a loving Father who cares for me and knows my needs. And he says, pray all the time. Pray persistently. Pray for yourself because you need me. Pray for others because they need me. Be spirit-centered, be self and other-centered. And then Paul says, hey, by the way, pray for me. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to be made known in boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Paul's in prison. Why is he praying to be an ambassador in chains? Well, guess what? In another letter he says, many of the Praetorian guards greet you. Well, how did the Praetorian guards become Christians? They were chained to the Apostle Paul. The book of Philemon talks about a slave, Onesimus, and scholars believe that Onesimus was in the same prison as Paul. Paul was an evangelist even in the worst situation. And Paul says, pray that I will be clear, that I will have courage, and that I will have content as I share. And Paul would encourage us all to pray that, God, how will you use us to glorify your name? We have called upon you, you will deliver us, and now you're going to use us to glorify your name. I was at a conference at Oxford last week, and one of my best friends was with me, and it was quite late. I'm not sure. It was pub closing time, I know that, because there were all sorts of people walking down Broad Street coming out of pubs. And Jerry and I were just talking and catching up when two young men stumbled past us and then came back and said, "Hi, boys." Oh, it made our day to be called the boys at our age. Oh, we were very excited. And they were very drunk. One was a biologist. One was a physicist. They were both postgraduate students at Oxford. And they asked us what we were doing there. And it was a C.S. Lewis conference. And they squeezed out of us that we were ministers. And immediately the biologist talks about being an atheist and how he can't believe in God. And the physicist was saying, "Well, I believe in something, but I'm not sure it's the Christian God." And we had an hour debate. Now, these were very, very bright young men, but they were drunk. So we held our own. But then my friend, because the biologist was talking about justice, asked the biologist, "Have you ever been hurt by someone?" And he started to tell his story. And then my friend said, "Have you hurt somebody in your life?" And he didn't really want to answer that, but he had. And it got very personal as he kind of shared his whole story. And we had a chance not to debate, but to share why Jesus was our hope. And it was as if someone was praying that the right words would be said at the right time. And the physicist was talking about his fear. And I said, "Well, you know, the most common command in the Bible is be not afraid." And he was asking, "Well, how can you not be afraid?" And we had a 2.5-hour conversation. What a wonderful time. And I'm praying for these two guys. And I'm praying that each of us will have the chance to be bold in opportunities that God presents to us, to be very clear what we believe, to have the courage to share. And we are so afraid that people are going to think, "Well, he's beating me up with the Bible." No, people are looking and longing for something. In a survey that was done in the United States, 8 out of 10 people in the workplace say they would really like to know about the religious faith of their co-workers. How do we share God's glory? Call on me, I will deliver you, and I will use you to bring glory to my name, says God. And the person from Union Church who sent me the email also said, read John 17, and that's the prayer that Jesus prayed right before he was betrayed. It's the prayer about love and the prayer about Jesus holding us up. It's called the high priestly prayer. But remember what happened to the disciples that night? Where were they while Jesus was praying? Were they alert and vigilant? No, we're told they fell asleep 3 times. And Jesus called upon his loving Father and said, "Deliver me from this. But if not, your will be done." And Philip Yancey says, because God did not deliver Jesus that night, he made it possible for all of us to be delivered through his life, his death, and his resurrection. All things work out to the glory of God and for the good of his people. But if we don't take time to pray, we are going to miss that. How exciting it was for our young people to be ambassadors for Christ in Cambodia. How exciting it will be as we leave this place this week to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, not on our own power, but under the power of the Holy Spirit, as God uses us to bring glory to himself and people into a loving relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God, even as we set apart these elements from a common to a sacred use, we ask that you would set apart each of us for a very special use, the use for which you have prepared each one of us. Father, we thank you for the life, the death, the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the relationship we can have with you and with each other and with ourselves because of the mercy and grace that was lavished upon us through this amazing act of love. Help us to remember as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. I would call the deacons forward. On that same night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this, remembering me." And then he took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Drink of it, all of you." We invite everyone who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior to participate in this communion service. We're going to ask you to come forward and receive the bread and the wine from the deacons.